common sense commentary on politics, culture, and current events. If it's on your mind, it's In the News. And now, In the News, with your host, Mike Dakak.
I had an English teacher, back in junior high now, who used to say that when you're writing, he would always assign essays pretty much on a weekly basis. He would, essays or compositions, and he would say, whenever you're writing an essay or you're composing any kind of written piece, it's always helpful to have the overarching theme, to think about it in this way. What question am I trying to answer? And I found that after a couple of assignments, it was really kind of helpful, because whenever you ran into a block, whenever you got writer's block, you kind of ran into a wall expressing yourself and how, what exactly you wanted to say, you could always come back to that overarching theme, and it would kind of help you break through the barrier or whatever wall you hit at that point. And I've since taken that and I've kind of extrapolated out to whatever information I'm presenting, from presentations, PowerPoint presentations in college, or presentations and meetings when I was in the corporate world, and now to writing articles and publishing these podcast episodes. And what I've taken it to mean, when you're preparing a podcast, the overarching question, obviously week in and week out, the details differ. One week you're talking about immigration, and the next week you're talking about a military conflict that may have taken place, and the week after that you're talking about an election that may have happened. But the overarching theme that I try and answer with every episode here is, what information would you, the listener, find important if you read all of the articles there were to read on a story and listen to all of the information and all of the news clips that there were on a story? What three or four points would you tell yourself if you had the time to go through all of this information? And I find that it kind of keeps me grounded, and hopefully it makes this podcast valuable to some people. You try and gather all the information that you would need in order to present a full argument and explain what you're trying to say. And so sometimes that means sitting through a video or reading through material you don't agree with or you don't necessarily like, so you can sit here and when you hit the record button, you can explain to the person listening, well, you know, this is what this side is trying to say on this argument, this is what this other side is saying, and this is why they're both wrong. Or this is why this side is wrong and this side is right. That's basically the job. And for the first time in maybe the 10 years that I've been doing this, I haven't been doing it on a weekly basis for 10 years, but I published my first episode nearly 10 years ago. The first time in that time, I did not do my job this week, because I was going to talk about the impeachment, this sham impeachment that took place this week, or is taking place, it's currently going on, and some of the arguments that were being presented. And folks, I simply could not do it. I couldn't sit through, and I'm not trying to be a wise guy, and I'm not trying to sound melodramatic, but I couldn't sit through literally 15 seconds of that nonsense. I just simply couldn't do it. It's tissue rejection at this point. I mean, it started on Tuesday, right? Tuesday was the first day when the arguments were being presented, and I didn't watch a second of it on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I was sitting around and I kind of said to myself, all right, I guess I have to see what they're saying, because tomorrow when I'm on the microphone here, I should be able to explain to people why they're all nut jobs and why this is all ridiculous. I flip on the television and some Democrat congresswoman is at the dais speaking there. I think it was Debbie Dingell from Michigan. I'm not exactly sure. But I heard her talk and I was just like, nope. and I flipped it off right then and there. When you're awake, you just no longer have the tolerance for the propaganda any longer. And that's what this is. Make no mistake, it is propaganda. It is all fake. It is all cynical. It is all extremely agenda-driven. Folks, how do you impeach someone who's not in office? What are you impeaching? You impeach a person from office. That is the point of impeaching. You're removing them from office. You're extracting them from office. Well, if they're not in office, then what are you impeaching them from? They know he's still the president. They know Donald Trump is still the president. They know that if he runs in 4 years, he's going to win by 90 million votes instead of the 80 million that he won by this time around. I mean, let's go impeach my gardener while we're at it. Wasn't Joe Biden inaugurated a couple of weeks ago? We had the poems and the glad handing and the singing and the celebrations and everything was great. The peaceful transfer of power that we've had in this country for 200 some odd years. Didn't that all take place? Now, because of that, the anger that we're all feeling, having felt watching that, and the fact that nothing has happened and the people in power haven't stood up to stop that, we're all sitting here wondering when something is going to happen. And to that end, I'd like to play you a clip from a fellow by the name of Simon Parks. Simon Parks is based out in England. He's an author. He's a podcaster. He runs a kind of a spiritual organization these days. And in the interest of full disclosure, Parks is one of the people who has said a lot of things in the last couple of months that turned out not to be true, or at least they haven't come to pass just yet. He was one of those people who was saying, pay attention to the frequency of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's tweets. They're going to come out every 30 minutes, and then it's going to be 20 minutes, and then 15, and 10, and then 5, and then 1. And then the emergency broadcast system is going to be activated, and the military is going to take over, and all the Democrats are going to be arrested, and everything is going to be peachy. Well, none of that came to pass, obviously. But Parks has kind of a colorful history. He grew up in a family with links to both British and American intelligence. And so he says he has a lot of sources in that world. His mother worked for MI5. It turned out she was really working for the American NSA. His grandfather worked for MI6, also the CIA. From around 1965, Parks says, to 1979, his mom worked on secret documents which were printed in German and came from the British and American quarters of then divided Berlin, when Berlin was East Berlin and West Berlin back during the Cold War. And those documents related to UFOs, he said. Well, his mother died under suspicious circumstances in 1979, and right after being asked to be released from the work, he says. Soon after that, an envelope full of cash of about 2,000 British pounds was pushed through his door with a note that said, don't look back. And so he moved to London. He relocated to London. He never officially worked for any of the intelligence agencies, he says, but he has a lot of sources in that world. And as I say, he said a lot of things in the last couple of months that turned out not to be true, or at least have not come to pass. Well, he disappeared for a while. He was publishing regularly on a weekly basis, or sometimes more than once a week, videos that he would post online and on his website. And after June 6th, they just kind of all stopped, and people were wondering what exactly happened to him, whether he was still in custody or whether he was just embarrassed about being wrong. Well, he popped back up this week, and he had some interesting things to say. At least I thought they were interesting. And so I want to play you guys an extended clip from his latest video, because I think he makes a few good points in it. The whole episode is about 40 minutes long, so I'm obviously not going to play you the entire 40 minutes, but this clip here is an extended clip. It runs about 8 minutes long. Not all of it I agree with, not all of it is necessary, but he goes back and forth between points that I don't consider really necessary and points that I think are interesting. So we'll listen to the clip and we'll talk about it after it's done. At the very beginning here, he's answering the question of, well, if the Bidens and the Obamas and the Clintons and the Democrats of the world, the troublemakers, the globalists, if they know that this is all coming to a head, why are they all sitting around waiting for it? And he says, well, you know, what else can they do? I mean, if you're Bill Clinton, where in the world are you going to go and hide? It's not like you can disappear and move to Costa Rica and live on the beach. And so he talks about them having to let it play out because it's the only option they have at this point. And he also talks about how much longer we have to wait and what he's hearing from his sources and a few other things. Here's Parks.
And so they can't go anywhere. The only thing they can do is what they were designed to do, which is play the game out to the end, because that's the way they are and that's all they know. And so they will play the game. And that is why at that so-called inauguration, when the cameras were not obviously looking at Obama and Clinton and all the rest of them, they were looking very somber, very long-faced, literally the type of face you would have if you were at a funeral of a friend. But when the cameras were on them and they were being waved to, you know, oh, the camera's on you, then they would go into their acting mode. But when the camera was just catching them from the side, look at the way they are. And that's because they haven't really got what they hoped for. They've actually gone into a trap. They know it, but where else can they go? So the frustrating thing for all good people is, how much longer do we have to put up with this charade? It's not a clown show. It's offensive. And I've made the point, and I'm only speaking personally, that I'm not into this popcorn. And, you know, the people who've passed me information, they say, you know, enjoy the popcorn and watch the show. And actually, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy what I'm seeing. I'm not happy at all. And, you know, it's no good saying to people, trust the plan. And that's a very bad bit of PR. And that's a military person who doesn't actually understand the audience, doesn't understand human consciousness, only understands a military thing, you know, trust the plan. So this person would say to, I don't know, a room full of a couple of hundred soldiers, trust the plan. And they all salute and say, of course. And they all do the trust the plan because that's what they are. But civilians are not like that. And it's actually patronizing to say to all of us, trust the plan, don't question it, just do it. That's very patronizing. They'd have been much better, well, if they'd understood the audience, if they understand what humans who are not in the military are like, they would have said, trust the military. Just that change in words, trust the military. And you'd have found that most Americans who have a strong connection with the military would have trusted them. So there have been some gaffes, some very bad PR gaffes. Telling people to trust the plan is a very, in my opinion, it's very patriarchal as a condescending thing. It's like, don't worry about it, you know, don't question this. We know exactly what we're doing. Well, you may know what you're doing, but the way you're communicating with the public is not very good. Nobody's asking people to give away secrets. And there's another clip that I think I asked to put on the website, Flynn, basically saying, only a fool, I'm paraphrasing, only a fool will tell the enemy when, where, and how he will strike. And I was reminded by the people who keep me fed with information how Obama once gave the time and the date that troops were being withdrawn, I think it was from Afghanistan, which would give every evil person exactly the schedule when to attack them. And, you know, Trump never did that. Trump would always give wrong dates or times they were coming out, or he just wouldn't give it full stop. And that's the point. If you're in a war, and, you know, there is a war here, you don't tell the other side exactly what your plans are. Unless you are so confident that you've got everything done that you can do it a few hours beforehand. And whilst I know fully that people like Clinton, Obama, and Biden were never really going to be, you know, in the inauguration, it was all filmed, there were going to be a number of senators and congressmen and women who were going to be there. And I think that's the group that they wanted to arrest, the good guys wanted to arrest, because they were all going to be in one location. And then, you know, 1 hour or so before the inauguration was due to take place, there was that explosion in Madrid, which mainstream media have told us was a gas explosion. I've been told it was a bomb. And that was one of the reasons, or the main reason, why there was no good guy action at the inauguration, because that was a very credible threat, which unfortunately or sadly, it was sorted. The good guys had it all worked out and dealt with an hour or so later, but the timing had slipped. So that explosion did just what the bad guys wanted it to do, which was to delay or stop that. And that's the sort of situation that's been faced here, that it isn't just a simple case of knocking on a door and doing something. There is a wealth of people underneath these bad guys who are still resisting terribly. Look at Paul Linwood. They're now trying to prosecute him for voting in one place and living in another. They're actually accusing Linwood of voter fraud. It's not insane, because the evil side so hate Linwood because he's done so much to bring the truth out that they will try and turn the whole thing on himself. And that's why people like Lieutenant General Flynn and others are very aware that the other side still got teeth. They still can cause a lot of problems. You know, it's not just in an apple, you can take the knife and cut out the bad bit of the apple and eat the rest of it. I'm afraid the United States, if it were likened to an apple, using that analogy because of apple pie, of course, is full of rot. That's the terrible, sad thing about that once great country. It's full of rot. So what you've either got to do is you've got to take your knife and you've got to cut all of these bits out. And then you've got to regrow into those cut out bits. Good, wholesome bits of apple again, so that once again the apple is whole. And I often think that we, the audience, don't fully appreciate, or how can we, because we're not sitting there with all the information coming in, we don't fully appreciate the enormity of the task. And, you know, there is only one man, and that's President Trump, who has been brave enough and strong enough to take it on the chin, not just for the 4 years that we're aware of, but prior to that and now, who I think has the strength to come in when the time is right. So others have got to bring it to a point that he can come back. And I've said on my very first podcast regarding the election, remember I've been doing this for 10 years, but regarding the election, that President Trump would be successful if those around him who had originally put him in that position, who had convinced him to do this, to become president, to fight the great evil, if those same people stood by him. I said, if they stood by him, he was going to come back. But if they deserted him, like so many of these rhinos and goodness knows who else, then no, he'd never come back. Now, the good news is that those people that originally sat round with him and put him there have not deserted him. And so the point is that he is still an integral part of what is playing out. And, you know, the Congress, Senate, still going ahead with this impeachment against a private individual. And as Flynn said, he must be the president, because you cannot impeach a private individual. As far as the on-the-face public rules are, he's a private individual. But obviously, under the scenes, the bad guys still consider him the president. Of course.
So I'm going to stop it right there. He goes on a little bit longer, obviously. But he talks about trusting the plan, one of the things that I wanted to touch on here, and how most of us don't really want to hear that, do we? And most of us are wondering why we're being forced to live with this charade. We know it isn't true. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you guys about the facial expressions on the people at the inauguration, how they all had long faces, just like Parks touched on here. They all knew what they were doing was not right, didn't they? They all know that Joe Biden is not the real president. That's what that look is on their faces. It's guilt. They all know the jig is just about up, that they have, at the very least, more time behind them in power, such as it was, than they have in front of them. I mean, they've got armed, they're surrounded with armed guards, and they're surrounded by fencing with razor wire. This was not a moment of celebration. Everyone on that stage knew that they were part of theatrics. They were part of a deception, not part of something wholesome or true or honest. Now, Simon says it's condescending to say, trust the plan. I mean, look, folks, what else are we going to be told? What else are they going to say? They can't come out and say, well, you know, March 14th, the army is going to take over and arrest the Clintons and Obama and bring Trump back. They can't do that. What can they tell us? All they can say is be patient. We know this is not going to last forever. It's hard to hear that. But unfortunately, this is what we have to live with. And he said something else that Park said bears focusing on for a moment. He says, you know, the apple that is basically the U.S. is basically rotten to the core. That's not to discourage you. It is rotten to the core. It's not to discourage you or to make you feel hopeless. It's quite the opposite. It's to make you understand the gravity of the situation. Unfortunately, it's true. We may be underestimating the problem that we're facing. We are, in fact, in a war. So maybe it's best to have some perspective and to be able to gird ourselves a little bit more. Folks, there's a Capitol Hill police officer by the name of Brian Sicknick. You've probably heard this name over the last couple of weeks. And in that time, since January 6th, he's passed away. But the mainstream media has kind of gone nuts with this story, saying that he was beaten over the head by the insurrectionists that Trump incited with a fire extinguisher. And that's why he died. Clip after clip after clip, and we'll be covering this a little bit more in the days to come. He was beaten over the head with a fire. He was beaten to death by the insurrectionists with a fire extinguisher. Beaten over the head. Every single channel, every single outlet. Sicknick was beaten over the head with a fire extinguisher. The medical examiner has come out the other day and says there's actually no evidence of blunt force trauma to his head. That's not how he died, i.e. he was not beaten over the head with a fire extinguisher. Where are they all getting these notes? Sicknick called his brother, it turns out. It gets a little weirder. The night of the quote-unquote insurrection, the night of January 6th, and told him he was basically fine. That he was, you know, there was a little bit of drama and he was roughed up a little bit, but he was basically fine. The next day, he winds up dead. What's more is that his body's been cremated. So there's no forensic evidence exists any longer of what he went through or why he died. No one wants to talk about that. Does that sound like the extent of our problems is Debbie Dingell or Nancy Pelosi? Or Brad Raffensperger down in Georgia, who doesn't want to do an audit of Fulton County absentee ballots? This is bigger than that. And I'm not exactly sure that we're grasping just how much danger this nation is in right now. It's going to take a whole lot to build the apple back out, to grow it back out. They've spent decades compromising our entire system. Every person, just about, in authority, in every situation, in every corner of our society, we have the courts, the FBI, the intelligence community, state and local government, big tech, all the major Fortune 500 companies, all the big foundations, everywhere. It's not going to be undone with the stroke of a pen or even by one man. Biden says we have to unite the country. Oh, it's time to unite now that they've won and Biden has quote unquote been inaugurated. Well, now it's time to unite, of course. How? We can't unite behind a goal if the goal is the destruction of the country. That's not possible. There comes a point where compromise is no longer viable. I mean, you either believe we need to control the southern border or you don't. Can't compromise on that. You either believe foreign powers shouldn't be able to interfere in our election or you don't. You either believe that men can't have periods or you don't. There's no compromise on that. There's times where you can compromise. If we're talking about the top line tax rate and what that should be, and the other side says it should be 40% and we say it should be 30%, well, then we're done on 35. But there are times when compromise is splitting the baby. I mean, folks, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, comes out the other day and says, you know, with all this controversy about professional athletes kneeling for the Star Spangled Banner before games, he comes out the other day and he says, I'm no longer going to play the Star Spangled Banner at my arena before home games. I mean, if someone thinks that's a good idea, you're not going to be able to convince them. You're not going to be able to explain why it's not. I mean, what is Mark Cuban saying here? In other words, he's saying, I'm not an American. And it's not that I don't think that he's an American. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm pointing out is that he doesn't think he's an American. What's the big deal? He's probably thinking to himself. The Star Spangled Banner is causing controversy. Well, let's do away with the Star Spangled Banner. It's just a song. It doesn't represent anything else to him because he doesn't consider himself to be an American. It's bigger than that. He's big. He's a citizen of the world. He's a globalist. And so what he's trying to tell us is, I'm tired of pretending that I'm an American. I'm tired of pretending that I care about this country and anybody in it. I don't think I should have to do it anymore. So I'm not going to. I mean, we're rapidly approaching the point where there is no compromise if we're not there already. And the last thing Park says is that Trump is still president. They all know he's still president. How do you impeach someone who has left office? You're worried what this is really about. You're worried what that person is going to do when the truth ultimately comes out. And it's ultimately going to come out. Have no doubt about that. That's why they're trying to impeach him, to make that issue a moot one when it comes out. It's only when you view it under that perspective that the nonsense of this week makes perfect sense. He's a leader in exile, more or less. He's the leader of the resistance. They want to make sure they make it so that even if the resistance calls for it, he can't come back. And I hate that I might have to say this, but trust the plan. Because at one point, it's not going to be just about trusting the plan. It's going to be about trusting the plan. And then when the time comes, executing it. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments on any of the issues we discussed, drop me a line. You can reach me at comments@itnshow.com. That's comments@itnshow.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
If it's on your mind, it's in the news. Subscribe to In the News on both iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This has been In the News.